Hello, this is Pastor Sam Luke welcoming you to Victory Today. I'm going to share with you a message that I preached recently, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. For more information, you can always go to our website. That's victorytab.org, or call us here at the church office at 804-744-8881. Let's go into that service right now where God is moving by His Spirit. There's a song that kind of sums up how I feel. It says, we have the power in the name of Jesus. We have the power in the name of the Lord. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So I want you to sing it that way, and I want you to sing it like you mean it. I want you just to open your mouth and sing. I want everybody to just declare, we have the power. It's not our power, but it's the power of God. Jesus said, I give you power and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said that we would tread on serpents and scorpions. So we have the power of God working in us. Would you sing it with me like you really mean it today? Come on, everybody. We have the power in the name of Jesus. We have the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. And we have the power in the name of the Lord. Come on, sing it again. We have the power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We have the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We have the power in the name of the Lord. One more time now. We have the power in the name of Jesus. We have the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We have the power in the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. I want to thank everybody who has joined us. You're watching us by Facebook. We are so glad you're there. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would speak to us from your word and through the Holy Spirit today. Help us to realize that you have great and lofty plans for us. You have a purpose, and that destiny is inevitable. Nothing can ever separate us from your love. And as we are obedient to your voice, nothing can separate us from your purpose. I pray that your power would flow through us, that we would become a burning and shining light in a dark place. Help us, oh God, to demonstrate the power of God in our lives by faith. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His glory. And the church said a big amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Turn with me this morning in your Bible to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. And this is a familiar passage to most of us. Philippians chapter 3. While you're turning there, let me tell you that we are forgetful. Young people forget, but as we get older, we become more forgetful. Three elderly widows decided to pool their resources and live together in one house. Martha was upstairs, and she had drawn a bath, and she stood up and looked at the bath water, and then she thought for a moment, and she asked herself, I wonder, was I about to get in the tub, or have I already taken a bath and I'm getting out? And she called downstairs to Mildred and to Margaret and said, ladies, could somebody please come up here and tell me if I was getting into the tub or getting out. So Margaret starts up the stairs, and she gets winded about halfway up. She sits down, and she's tired, and suddenly it occurs to her, I don't know why I'm on this staircase. And she calls out, she said, can somebody tell me, was I going up the stairs or was I coming down? And down in the front room, Martha was sitting there and in her rocking chair, and she thought about, my goodness, how absent-minded these two are that I'm living with. And she said, well, I'll tell you one thing, girls, I'm sure glad that I'm not senile, knock on wood. And she said, was that the front door or the back door? So we have a tendency to forget things as we get older. We all forget. But I want to encourage you to forget today. In fact, I'm going to talk to you this morning about seven things you should forget. Tonight in the 6 o'clock service, I'm going to talk to you about seven things you should remember. So this morning, seven things you should forget. And tonight, seven things you should remember. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, in modern English, this is what he's saying. I don't believe that I've arrived. I don't know everything there is to know. But he said, there's one thing I do know. I need to forget some things. And then I need to reach out to the things that are before me. And then finally, I need to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There are seven things we need to forget. Are you ready? Number one, we need to forget our past hurts. We've all been hurt. Jesus never warned us about the danger of being offended. He warned us about the danger of unforgiveness. We've all been hurt. You're going to be hurt. You can't escape that. That's part of life. But it's time for us to forgive those who have hurt us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, when he taught us how to pray, he said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Life is all about choices, and forgiveness is a choice you make. You know, young people don't understand that even though they're free to make choices, they're not free from the consequences of their choices. But God will supernaturally enforce the choice that you make. He won't force you to make a choice, but he will enforce that choice when you make it. And you need to forgive those who have offended you, because it's a gift that you give yourself. When I forgive those who have offended me, immediately God separates me from their folly. I don't have to bear around the guilt and the shame of their sin. I can move on with my life, and then God can deal with them. But I must forgive. Now, I didn't say this. Jesus said this, the ultimate authority in the universe. He said, if you don't forgive those who have offended you, I can't forgive you. I need forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I need the grace of God. I need forgiveness. There are times when I have to get on my knees and say, God, please forgive me. I failed you. But he said, if you're not willing to forgive those who have offended you, then I cannot forgive you when you ask me to forgive you. So I want to make sure that I forgive those who have offended me. Because if I allow that root of bitterness to set up in my life, I'll become angry. I'll become a withered person. I'll be ugly, and my spiritual growth will be stymied, and I'll become angry with people that didn't hurt me. Ever notice that? When somebody has hurt you, you'll turn on people that didn't hurt you and become bitter and resentful. So I want to stay sweet in my spirit. So the first thing I'm going to do is tell you that it is the Word of God, and this is good, sound spiritual advice for you to learn how to forgive. Somebody shout, I forgive. All right, number two, we need to forget our sad regrets. We need to forget our sad regrets. Willie Nelson wrote a song. And, you know, Willie Nelson recently at 85 or whatever he is decided to stop smoking pot. I don't know if he thought it was going to shorten his life or what. But he has written some fantastic songs. In fact, one of the things that caused me to prepare this message is I heard something that he sang. He said, I have sad regrets. And in the song, he said, I keep them in a box underneath my bed close enough that I don't forget. And I thought, Willie, you need to forget your sad regrets, because we all are guilty of mishandling situations. And sometimes you think, well, if I had just turned right instead of left, if I had just made an investment when they told me that I should, if I just started saving money earlier, then I would be better off for it. And we all have things we look back and regret and say, oh, I wish I had done it that way, you know? By the way, speaking of country music, you know what happens if you play a country song backwards? You get out of prison, you sober up, your wife comes home, and your dog comes back to life. And so I realize that we all have sad regrets, things that we've done we wish we hadn't done, things that we said we wish we had not said. So we need to forget our sad regrets. Somebody say amen. If you don't, you won't be able to enjoy your life. If you're holding on to the past, you won't be able to enjoy your life in the present, and the future holds nothing for you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 tells us that God, oh, listen to this, God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called even according to his purpose. I got to tell you, everything that comes into my life has to first be cleared by heaven. Nothing can touch me. Nothing can come into my life. And that means that even my trials work for me and not against me. God says, I know you're going through a tough time, but I've allowed this. I'm working a plan in your life. It may be that God wants to produce in my life character. It may be that God wants me to learn how to be persistent. It may be there's something God is teaching me in the tough times that I need to learn. But I know this, God still has a perfect plan for my life. And I'm his child, and I'm trusting him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Somebody say amen. Here's number three. Forget my miserable failures. I have failed more people than I've ever helped. You know, you talk about, who said yeah? Wait a minute, hold on. You're not supposed to say amen at that point. When you think about it, if you say, well, you know, there's some of these mega churches, they'll have 20,000 people in their church. And I say, praise God, that's wonderful. But Michael Jackson had 100,000 people in a concert before he died. And there are probably 3 or 4 million people in that city. So we look at things and sometimes try to judge our success based on numbers. But in reality, if we look at things objectively, all of us are guilty of failing more people than we've helped. And if you just concentrate on that, it makes you miserable. You just don't want to do anything. I mean, you tried and failed, you don't want to try anymore. And that's not God's plan for you, because your failure does not define who you are. God's word does. Somebody say amen. I want to show you what I'm talking about. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah was a drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a blasphemer. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Mary Magdalene was a hooker. Moses had a speech impediment. And Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. But the one thing they all have in common is God chose to use them. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies those whom he calls. Hallelujah. And if you think that God has given up on you, you're wrong. You may have given up on yourself, on your dreams. Maybe God told you something a long time ago and you haven't seen it come to pass. But it's not over until God says it's over, and God is still working. You are an heir of God. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're a precious treasure in the sight of God, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city set upon a hill, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the family of God and the body of Christ. You are somebody because God has chosen you and invested in you, and it means that God has a special plan and purpose for your life. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So forget about your failures. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Amen. You ready for another one? Number four, forget about your missed opportunities. The Bible talks about a sin of omission, to know good and you don't do it. What is it? It's a sin. It's not just stuff you do, it's stuff you don't do. Well, I should have tithed. Well, you know, you missed an opportunity, but it doesn't mean that God is not the God of a second chance. In fact, I want to ask you to forgive me. For my entire life, I have given a tithe. And, you know, I didn't just start tithing when I got here. My wife and I have tithed and gone way beyond tithe in our 48 years of ministry together. And I'm glad to report to you that I'm not broke. Hello? See, that's what you say when people are, I'm going to give to God. It's like, oh, bless your heart, you must be broke. No, I'm in good shape financially. I'm in good shape. I could retire right now. In fact, I got money you never did give me. I know you don't know that, but I'm not broke. Hallelujah. In fact, there have been times when my wife and I have stepped in here to bless this church and help this church in tough times when we needed money and we couldn't borrow any money because banks won't give people money that can't pay their bills. Hello? But I'm blessed. I really am blessed when I go out, and if I turn around and come back in, I'm still blessed because my blessing does not depend on a particular geographical location. Some of you are running from Dan to Beersheba, from pillar to post, trying to find a place where you can be blessed, and that's not how it works. You're blessed because you are a child of God. So wherever you go, you're still blessed. You're blessed in the city and in the field. That's for those of you that don't know where you live. You don't know if you're in the suburbs or the city, and it's hard to know in Midlothian, in Richmond. There are those of you that are blessed immeasurably in your finances, but it's not just your checking account, but your savings account, because you said you bless your basket and your store. But there is a direct connection to giving. And because when I came to this church, we had struggled for so many years with finances and said people were sensitive about it, so you don't need to just talk about finances, and we don't. We probably spend 3 minutes in an entire service talking about giving, and I want you to know going forward, I'm going to change that. Here's why. If I'm not teaching you about tithing and giving, I'm cheating you out of a blessing. Because you'll always become the person who's needy and the person who has to receive and not the person that's able to give. How many of you like to be a giver and not a receiver? Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. But as you give, the Lord gives to you. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. That means that God says, I'll make sure that you get everything that you need, because if I can get it through you, I can get it to you. Somebody say amen. In fact, I'm going to show you something this morning. And I might do this every Sunday from now till Jesus comes, because I want you to be blessed. And again, I apologize to you because I don't really think that I've done a good job teaching you about giving and tithing. And the national average in church is about 30% of people that attend church actually pay tithe. And that's about the way it is here. About 3 out of 10 people that come to this church understand the blessedness of tithing. Let me show you what the Bible says about it. Somebody said, now, listen, I'm not going to hear what you say, first of all, because you use the word tithe. And that's Old Testament, and that's under the law. I beg your pardon. Tithing was instituted 1,000 years before the giving of the law. Did you know that? Because Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Melchizedek was a type of Christ. So he actually gave to the Lord. And that's what tithing is. So it predates and antedates the giving of the law by about 1,000 years. So listen to what the Bible says in Malachi. He says in verse 8, will a man rob God? Ooh, I don't want to rob God. I'd rather rob 7-Eleven than rob God. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? in tithes and in offerings. Now, I didn't say this. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the paper boy. I'm not the one that, I didn't write this, you know. I'm just throwing this up on your front step. Don't get mad at me. But here's what it says. If you don't tithe, you might be driving up here in a stolen SUV or Mercedes. If you don't tithe, you might be wearing stolen clothes. If you don't tithe, you might be eating food that's been stolen, because it says you're a robber. You've robbed God. Can I talk to you just a little bit? You'll just still love me if you will say amen. If you go all the way back to the beginning, God established the tithe tree in the center of the garden. And he said, I want you to know that this tree represents my sovereignty. You cannot usurp my authority. And even though the fruit of the tree looks good to the eyes, it represents something. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. It's mine. Now listen, a tenth of your earnings belongs to God. It doesn't even belong to you. If you're spending it, you're spending something that doesn't belong to you. If God gave you the ability to work, if you have the ability to earn an income, God says, I want a tenth. Now, who in the world would turn a deal down like that? If God says, I'll make you a full partner, and all I want is a tenth. How many of you know a full partner ought to get at least 50%? God says, I just want a tenth, and I'll be your partner, and I'll bless you if you tithe. So tithing is biblical. And if you don't like the word tithe, use the word tenth. It's the same thing. So I want to give a tenth to God to honor God, because God says that part belongs to him. He said, you're cursed with a curse. Again, I didn't say that. Because you've robbed me, even the whole nation. Now watch this. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. I want to help my Aunt Mary. She's a good woman and she's falling on hard times. Good. You help her, but don't take your tithe money to help her. Because if everybody paid tithe, you know what would happen in this church? There wouldn't be one person in this church that ever call up and say, listen, I got a need. Can you help me? We'd say, absolutely. We are ready to help you. We have the resources because God's people are tithing. We can help you in your time of need. And then when you get blessed, you can bless somebody else. And that's the way it ought to work. Amen? Now he says, bring the tithe where? Into the storehouse. Not to your favorite television pastor. Not to your evangelist that you watch or listen to on the radio. But bring your tithe into the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? Where you get fed. That there may be meat in my house. In other words, there'll be resources here. Everything that we need will be here. How many?
Pastor Sam Luke again with a special prayer for you. I pray today that God will bless you and encourage you, and that what you've heard today will stay with you and you'll be able to walk out your faith. Thank you so much for being a part of Victory today. For more information, I want you to go to our website. That's victorytab.org, or call us here at 804-744-8881. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Until we see you next time on Victory Today.